Okay, I don't have a lot as far as I want to add to those announcements because we got a lot going on today and a lot going on with this message here. It's just going to be, I'll give you a heads up, it's just going to be a review today. We're not going to really anything new. It's been a while. You know, we started this well before the spring holidays, and the spring holidays came and kind of took up most of our time. And I just don't want to jump into such a large subject knowing that you probably forgot it. Because if I don't look at it every day, I forget as well. So I just wanted to actually just do a quick review when we get started here. And in light of some other things that John and I experienced at the council, I mean the general conference this week, some things that were said that kind of changed the way I want to present it. But as far as the announcements, I just want to make, when I was on the way down to the GCE this past Friday, my stepfather had a major stroke. It was a huge setback. It was his second one in this past year. The first one we didn't know. They found it. He is improving. Once you have multiple strokes, things start happening. You start developing certain new symptoms. And he's developed this symptom. It's kind of like Parkinson's. It's not Parkinson's, but it's called where you start to do the shaking, which causes weakness. And through that weakness, it's kind of putting him back where he can't walk right now. He took a couple steps yesterday, but he can't walk. His speech is getting better, still slurred. He's starting to show signs of weakness in the face muscles still. I guess when you go through these type of strokes, you're kind of on hills and valleys. So he goes through those quite a bit. He can talk clear when he's alert, he's rested, but when he starts getting tired and he tries to really speak faster, his words start to slur. And the one thing that's the most frustrating part for him is he's seeing things. And to try to explain to him that that's not really going on, it's in his mind, that's hard for him. And it's kind of a setback. But of course, he's in good spirits. He knows that God does not heal the aging process, that he's living according to what God provided, and he looks forward to what God is going to provide. So he appreciates the prayers, though, because it is a strain on my mother, who pretty much has to be the caregiver. He can't do anything by himself now. So he's going to be in the facility for a couple more weeks, but then after that, they got to reevaluate where they're going forward. Okay, that's really all I have for announcements. So we'll just get back into what we're going to talk about today. As I mentioned, months ago, we started this in-depth dive into not just the 7 weeks prophecy, but we took a deep dive into chapter 9, because the prophecy is there's more to chapter 9 than just the prophecy. The prophecy contains so much more. It's a fine example of what we do, how we communicate with our God. And I wanted to talk more as we just do a quick review of the importance of why. Why prophecy? Why is it so? Why it shouldn't be something that we are afraid of? It shouldn't scare us off. And we covered quite a few scriptures last time. We talked about the importance of it. It's talking about what God wants to reveal to us. So often we find ourselves in this society or even in our lives and looking at what does God want? Where are we going? We see this world falling apart. And we see hopes and dreams being crushed. And we find out, where's the hope? But there is hope. There's hope in this gospel message. This message is full of hope. It's full of what God wants to show us. In fact, in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I want to show you these things, what I think toward you. Things that are peaceful. Things that are give you a future, to give you a hope. And what we heard this year at the GCE was so often we stand up here in the pulpit and we preach or we write articles and we tend to focus a little bit too much on that gloom and doom. And we overlook the hope about this future, about what God's word reveals. And prophecy plays a very important part of how God communicates that hope, a part which we should be expressing as your leaders. And that's what I gave that last sermon was I saw that to kind of get that process rolling. And then hearing that at GC just kind of enforced it in my mind. We cannot go through this life with a Pollyanna, rainbows and unicorns, and just about Jesus, and he loves you, and he wants this for you. We can't go that far and get out of balance, but we cannot spend every ounce of our time educating the people with just the gloom and doom. We have to have that balance because it's your life. We are all realists. We see what's going on around us, but God doesn't want us to be overwhelmed when it comes to the reality of our situation. He tells us it, that it's what's going on, but he wants us to be optimistic. He wants us to have that hope that God indeed is there. He's provided a plan. We're not alone in this process. And in Daniel 9, this whole section gives us a wonderful example when we have to face these things. In fact, Daniel faces reality in Daniel 9. He's done it all through the chapter when he's recorded. And you can go ahead and turn over to Daniel 9. We're going to be there for the first few minutes here, just reviewing some scriptures. But I wanted to address that. I want to address what Daniel is facing here. He's not ignoring reality, but he's not crushed by it either. In fact, in Daniel 9:1, he says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Azarias, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, yes, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord given through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in a desolation of Jerusalem." I mean, Daniel is up front. He goes, "I am aware of my situation." But did you notice what he said, though? "I see these things. It's been terrible. Think of his situation." He went to the source of hope. He didn't let the reality, yeah, that's true, we do face the gloom and doom of life. But he says, I knew these things, and I want to even understand it more, so I went back to it. The Word, the inspired Word. And he talks about the books. He talks about Jeremiah. Young people, I want you to think about this. When we stand up here and talk about reality, we also need to encourage you to think of the hope. And when we think of these things, these examples, they're wonderful examples for us. That humanistic side of the men, these what we can sometimes label as giants, that everything worked out great for them. But sometimes we need to go back, look what they went through, and it can help you. It can help all of us. I mean, Daniel was a young man. He had done watch Israel fall to Assyria. Can you imagine what it meant to be an accomplished, educated man in Judah, the land of Judah? And then everything is destroyed around you. In fact, you knew it was coming. You heard the lamentation. Repent. We're going to be destroyed. We're going to be brought under punishment. In fact, you know what? Let's just turn back to Jeremiah 25 real quick. I really can't see my notes in the dark, so I'm sorry. You're going to have to just go where my mind goes today. But Jeremiah 25, when he mentioned this, think about what his life would have been like when he was growing up, accomplished, thinking of a future. And then he knows it's coming, and then he had to live it. I mean, can you feel your lives are just like this? Look at Jeremiah 25 and verse 11. And this is what he was reading. "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment." The temple's going to be gone. All my family and friends are going to be destroyed. My future is going to be uprooted and taken away from me. Where's hope in that? That's doom and gloom. "And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Could you imagine thinking 70 years at that age? That's a long time. Will I die in that? Will I ever come out? "Then it shall come to pass," though, he keeps reading. God says, there's more. "Then it shall come to pass when 70 years are completed that I will punish the king of Babylon and the nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord, and I will make it a perpetual desolation." Keep reading here. "So I will bring on that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, and that is written in this book which Jeremiah has prophesied concerning all the nations." So you think about what Daniel is going through in his life. It's not easy. But he didn't focus, and thankfully, he had teachers that prepared him for this. There was hope. Daniel saw these things. And the one thing that they couldn't take from him was that hope. He returned. He knew that word. He was in constant contact with that word. Daniel was now at this point in chapter 9. He's 80 years old. No children. That was taken away from him. Not a family. Not the ideal career. Suffered the wrath of Nebuchadnezzar's family line. Suffering the problems of all this war and turmoil. Suffering the wrath of the leadership in that land. Facing down lions. His friends facing a life they didn't prepare for or didn't want. But then he didn't lose hope. In fact, when this doom and gloom seems to even destroy him all his life, and you think, how can he keep going? What did Daniel do? He prayed. He made sure that contact. He held that balance in his life of hope. He was a realist. He dealt with these things day by day. But again, he stayed close because he knew where to turn when it really got hot and heavy. He realized what was going on. In fact, you can write in your notes in Isaiah 44:28, part of the books. It talked about this hand that would come and pay back the land of Babylon. So Daniel is living in interesting times. Hard times, but he's still a man of God. He never lost that vision. He kept that balance. And we see that as we keep reading. In Daniel 9, verse 3, instead of going into this, oh, woe is me, Daniel said, I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer, supplications, with fasting, with sackcloth, with ashes. Yes, this is not ideal. But I hold on to the hope. And I hope that when we give these sermons, especially on prophecy, you don't look at it as, oh, it's just our pastor giving another doom and gloom. I'm hoping that we can understand and learn to give that balance. That you are a realist when you face this world, but you're an optimistic person because you know God is greater. Just like Daniel, he saw this and he went to his God. And he set his face to the Lord God. Again, he made all this happen. He prayed. He fasted. He humbled himself. And I prayed, verse 4, to the Lord my God and made confessions and said, O Lord, how mean you are to me to give me this all these years. No. No, because of that hope, because that relationship that was passed on to him, because he lived with this hope. O Lord, great and awesome God. That had to be instilled in him by those around him. It had to be instilled with building that relationship as he was facing this tough world that he faced. You are God who keeps his covenant. It'd be easy when it's easy to hold on to your faith when there's nothing bad going on. But what if you're living in Babylon? What if you're living in a world today with so much corruption? We go to hope. We see it, we hold fast, and we realize and know God is who he says he is because he is our God. He is your God. And the messages that this Bible teaches gives us that hope. And God loves us so much, he doesn't hide those facts. Could you imagine if we stood up here day in and day out preaching Jesus loves you. It's going to be great. The kingdom is going to be good. Just hold on. And then Babylon attacked. Then you get the word, you got cancer. Your child's going to die. No sense to having it born. Just abort it. You can't have this job. Well, you made me hopeful, but you didn't love me enough to tell me the truth. Hope is more valuable when you know its value. When you know what you're up against. That's why God tells us the truth. You know when you hear that call. when trials hit. And that's what I hope as pastors and leaders and parents and grandparents, that we have that balance when we look at things like prophecy, look at the Word of God, to be able to give you that balance, young people, and younger, and not so young. That God's Word is for us all. It's hard to live in this world. And we can have this hope. And Daniel had this. He saw his God as the God who keeps covenant, no matter what Babylon would throw at him. He knew the balance to have. He knew his God was a God of mercy, verse 4. A mercy to those who love him. Do you love your God? Do you love him because he is God? You love him because he loves you enough to tell you the truth. Do you love him enough to know he knows your situation? Like I spoke in that last one, he sees your trials. He sees how you act. He sees your heart. He knows you have pain. He knows even our older couples or individuals, when they lose a loved one, he sees that. We never plan to lose someone. We never plan to go through this life sometimes with the trials we face. But God says, if you have that balance, you know this is not the end. You have been prepared to handle these situations. It didn't keep you off guard because my servants loved you enough to tell you the truth. I loved you enough to tell me the truth. And you love me enough to build your relationship with me so that when those moments hit, you know how to respond. That's how leaders are made. They face the adversary. They face the troubles. And they know, no matter what their eyes tell them, if they do their part and they engage and keep a solid foundation, hope cannot be stripped from their hearts. Daniel has given us a wonderful example of what it's like. And another incredible thing, what we're learning together, every one of us, is how to be leaders. How to be a leader and help others to have this same balance in their life. You are shedding a light on so many things that you do not know. Look at our children. I mean, I listed them so I didn't forget them. That's what I was doing when I first got here. Caleb, Elizabeth, Brianna, Gideon, Abigail, Killian, Andrea, Jude, Hannah, Amethyst, even you are wonderful examples. You are learning in this. Our young adults, Mark and Amanda. Can I read my writing? Oh, Daniel and Lauren. Jacob and Mariah, Adam and Jordan, Austin and Abby, Alyssa and Bryson. You are learning how to live in an area of doom and gloom. You're raising your children in an area of life of doom and gloom, but you have one of the greatest aspects of how to face it. You have the hope of the Word of God. And you got to know how to handle this Word of God. And that's what prophecy it does for us. It connects us to it. And us elders, I won't say us, you elders, because I'm not there yet. I'm middle-aged. So, you elders, set the example in this room for those younger. And then when we see you guys, we see successful couples, every one of you, raising families, facing down floods, sometimes feeling like your dreams have been crushed when you wake up in your new home and you got 2 feet of water in the basement. Been there. Some of these things, you losing your homes. Things not going the way it need to be at home. But we have that hope, just like Daniel. And we handle it by going to that source. In fact, as leaders, we lump ourselves in with the whole. We're not in competition with each other in this room, in the body of Christ. We're here for each other. What will we do without Josh? What will we do without David? They're important. They help us, for example, to deal with these things. See if I can see where I'm at here. So when we look at these examples, let's turn over to Daniel, we're 9. Just look at verse 17, where he says, "Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant for and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate." We're learning by tapping into these things, and how can we understand and face these things with these prophecies? We're learning that it's more than what we can handle at times, but we have the hope to go to God, and we need His face to shine upon our lives when we don't have the answers, when you're being intimidated, when life seems to be falling apart. We go to God and say, "Father, Daddy, I'm here. I've emptied myself. I've humbled myself. And for your name's sake, cause your face to shine on me, on this situation, on what you consider your sanctuary." Because sometimes it's hard to walk. And could you imagine Daniel when he was facing the lions, when he was facing these kings, and he's facing this old age? And sometimes you don't know what to do. Well, you go to God. You restore that hope. You ask those around you, "Help me with that hope. And you know I need it. Oh my God," verse 18, "incline your ear to me and hear. Open your eyes and see." Do we believe when we talk to God, He hears? Do we believe when we ask God to see, He sees? We all have been there. Daniel was right there. That's what this prophecy is all about and how he approached it. We have that faith. Remember that sermon I gave last time, Matthew 9, around verse 23. Sometimes we have to say, "God, I believe. I read. I know you're there. But it's hard right now. Help my unbelief." Because the hope of the gospel is more powerful than the reality of that gloom and doom that I have to deal with. The hope is stronger. But I'm thankful that I don't live and caught off guard, because I know what God says is true. Even though it's going to be hard at times, I know God is with me. And that's what He's saying. "I come to you in these moments because I need help. I need your hand in my life." And now verse 19, O Lord, hear. And I love this. "Lord, forgive." I could be wrong in certain areas of my life. Because I have a relationship, I want that to be made right. So we ask God, even like Daniel, "I don't want to look at this situation wrong, God. I don't want to ostracize myself from these people." No, we are your people. We look for your hand. Even I'm begging for it. But if we've done something wrong, help us see right. Don't let us take another step that would be away from you. Let's step toward you. Don't let this doom and gloom keep us from stepping toward where you would have us. Give us that hope. Restore that hope. That what you implanted inside me, let that be stronger. Shine your face on that so it illuminates and gives me, and forgive. And I love this next section. "Please don't delay." I have patience, but please don't delay, he's saying, "for your name's sake." And he says, again, while he was still speaking, God heard. When we want God to work in our lives, to help us, as Daniel was facing this time, we have to believe that God and ask Him, "Please help. Help me with that unbelief and encourage me and show me what you would have." And God will answer. Just like we read in verse 21. Yes, while he was still doing these things and putting God first in his life, nothing was going to separate. That doom and gloom was not going to separate him. The angel, Gabriel, came. When we had our most vulnerable moments, when life is the hardest, we got to remember what God has promised. Look what he did to his own son, who come before him and said, "Daddy, this is hard. Daddy, this is tough." He knew the reality of his situation. But it was a joy set before him because of the relationship, because of the hope. The hope was more important, and he engulfed himself in that hope. And when he needed strength, Daddy sent an angel, angels to minister and help him. Just like Daniel, he answered. He answered and gave him. Why I have said this for this 20-something minutes before we get into the short part we're going to cover is because this is our reality. This is your reality, young and old alike. It's a very important way to live. God knows our situations, and He wants us to be realist, to see these things, to trust, to find that balance, not thinking everything's just always going to be great, but to know that when things aren't great, there's something greater with us. There's something much more powerful kept Daniel going. So what was this wonderful prophecy then that Daniel was given? What was this 70 weeks prophecy? Why did it bring so much encouragement for Daniel? Why am I been harping on it for so long? Well, it's very important. This message, again, we covered this a little bit last time. It contains so much hope. Not something to be afraid of. Not just doom and gloom. It's a message of hope. It's a message concerning Jesus Christ. Something very important in our lives. Within this prophecy, what we're going to cover in the next sermon, we're going to uncover some very vital aspects of how we live. How Daniel had to face these things. It gives us two major points, six unique proofs. It gives us a timeline. God wants us to know. God wants us to connect. Just like I love that section where he says, "You, God," verse 4, "Oh, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant. You wouldn't lie." From Genesis 3, "You promised this. You promised us." And then he reads Jeremiah, "You promised." He never doubted. He never gave up. He knows he's merciful and he loves God. And God loves us enough to explain how he's going to be with us when it's hard. Those two major points, though. Remember, I don't know if you remember these, if you have your old notes, but this, the first one, this prophecy, when Daniel was asking this, God says, "I'm going to give you an answer." Excuse me. And he's going to talk to through Gabriel. "I'm not just going to give you an answer to the 70 years prophecy, Daniel. I'm going to give you something that's going to answer that hope." It talks about his first coming, Christ's first coming as Savior. Can you imagine the joy, the boiling up inside Daniel, like the promised Savior, it will come. And what's so important about this prophecy, it pinpoints the very year Jesus, as we heard in that opening message, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." An earth-shattering turn of events. That's what God wanted him to say. "I am still on my throne. I know you're in a whole lot of trouble in this world, this Babylon. In fact, like Daniel, this whole world's pretty much Babylon. And these people that's going to read this prophecy, they're going to be experiencing what you experience. They're going to have their hopes and dreams shattered, but they're not going to lose hope. I'm going to give them a message of hope, something that's going to point, and I'm going to show, give evidence of this. Christ is going to come. He's going to do these things, and he actually gives him a hard timeline. It will come to pass. The God who cannot lie, the God who made a covenant, will keep his covenant. And for us, something that we all yearn for, we continue, we look for this. It talks about this second coming as well, when he will finish what he started. And this time, he's going to return as the Messiah, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That's why we pray, "Thy kingdom come." Unfortunately, he don't give us a date on this one. But do we need a date to have the faith and hope as Daniel had? Do we need a date when we have that relationship and we love our God? That's why it's important to look at this whole section here. It's not just a prophecy, it's a lifestyle. It's an important lifestyle for those called out in this world to look at it, to believe it. In fact, on this first point, turn back to Isaiah. I want to read something real quick. When you think about the hope that must have been pounding or pulsing through the veins of Daniel when he heard this. In fact, it puts chills up and down my spine every time I read it and think of this. Surrounded by destruction. You think of this word and you get this prophecy. Chapter 7, verse 14. Chapter 7 of Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. God says, I'm going to do something that's impossible in your eyes. This is going to be part of that unique proof. I want to give you something that's unlike anything you've ever seen. But what I want to focus in on here is what he says. And you shall call his name Emmanuel. You shall call him God with us. You are not alone. Daniel was not alone. We are not alone. We have our God with us. He's real. He's relevant. This prophecy points out just how relevant God is in our lives. How relevant he is to our hope. Despite what we have to face. He is going to do what he promised. And you think about what he will do in the future. What we continue to look for. The God who's with us. Remember John 14 where he talks about, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't sink into the abyss of depression. Remember the hope. I am doing a work. I am the God who's with you. I am preparing a place for you. And where I go do that, you're going to be there too. And this prophecy points to it. But I want to, for the second point, you can't talk about this without going to this very powerful section of Scripture in Revelation 19. Revelation 19. In verse 1, he says, and after these things, I heard a loud voice of great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Not like, hey, something good's about to happen. No! It's exciting! Just like Daniel. Hey, wait a minute. Babylon's overthrown. This Cyrus is on the throne of Persia. Something big is about to happen. Let's go to God and find out. When we sit here and we go through this hardship of this life, and we know we see the signs getting worse, we can go to God and we think at this moment, Alleluia! He is coming. We know that promise. That is hope. That is hope. And we got to capture that. Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power to the Lord our God, the Lord who's great, the Lord who is awesome, the Lord who keeps covenant, the Lord who is merciful, the Lord that we love. That's what we got to focus in on. And then we read in verse 11, then I saw heaven open, and as he promised, he's coming again. And we're going to see it. We're going to witness it. No matter how horrible it is. We might be 80 years old. We might have to be removed from the grave. We're going to see that. He's going to come. It's going to open on a white horse. And he who sat on him is that faithful. Faithful and true. And in righteousness he will judge and make war. He talks about how wonderful he will be. Talks about this flames of fire. His eyes can see all. Nothing is hidden. He brings light to all things. Nothing is darkened before him. And on his head were many crowns. Many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood because of the first point, what he did. He's the only one with that honor. The one who's revealed himself to you. The one who gives your hope. And if you keep reading down here, it says in verse 16, and on his robe and on his thigh was a name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No matter if you have a Nebuchadnezzar in your life, no matter if you have a Cyrus in your life, or those who stand in opposition in your life, no matter how much hardship you face, the God who is with you is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who made a covenant with you, whom you covenanted with, whom you look and have a hope because he's going to fulfill what he promised. Very important aspect of how we deal with this. So when we cover these prophecies, it's not just to be doom and gloom. It's not just for our members who have been in the church for ages and ages and ages. It's for Amethyst. It's for Killian. It's for Gideon. It's for each one of them. It's for Caleb, Elizabeth, Brianna. It's for Adria. It's for Jude. It's for Hannah. And it's for you. It teaches us what God is doing. It gives us that clear mind. And as I kind of wind this down, let's read that scripture in Jeremiah. I want to read it in full context. Jeremiah 29. Because it plainly and clearly connects to what Daniel was going through. Jeremiah 29, let's just pick it up in verse 10. For thus says the Lord, and you see this prophecy here, after 70 years are complete at Babylon, I will visit you. Fast forward that to us. After you endure and you run your race, as you endure to the very end, not letting anything just take you off course, I will visit you. And I will perform. I will perform my good word toward you. The hope that endures all hope. The living, powerful word. I will perform toward you and cause you to return to this place. That which I have prepared, you will be. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I look at you, Natalie. I look at you and I see something wonderful. It's going to be hard, but I'm the God that's with you no matter what you face. God who has thoughts for you personally. Thoughts, he says, are peace, not those that are evil. Thoughts that will give you a future. Thoughts that will give you a hope. Even when life hits you square between the eyes, you're not out of balance because you knew the reality of your situation. You prepared. You counted the cost. You put your hand to that covenant, that plow, and you walk day by day. And every time somebody steps up in front of you and tries to knock you down, if you even get sick, you face these diseases. You face hardships. Those like Joseph, though they may do things to evil, the God who's with you will do it for good. Endure to the end. Hold fast that crown. This is what this prophecy is given to inspire. To inspire us to never give up. To never lose hope. And I will stop. I'm probably one of the shortest messages I've given here in North Kenton. Don't get used to it. I'll gain my 30 minutes next time. But I wanted to do that before diving back into the prophecy and just light of what we heard at the GCE and some of the feedback of dealing with young adults. We don't want you to be overwhelmed with gloom and doom. The gospel of the kingdom of God is powerful. Powerful not just to break through the, as I mentioned, just the darkness of this world, but inside here, helping us to stay urgent. In a state of urgency, but knowing we have hope, knowing that it's not all bad all the time. What's around us is bad, but you have such great, awesome opportunity. Remember the God who keeps covenant with you. Remember the God who loves you, the God who's merciful, who will show that mercy, show that compassion, not just to you young, but to the oldest one in this room. God has so much, and he wants to reveal it. So look at it this way when we cover these prophecies. We cover these subjects. And I hope with the leadership team, we are all on the same board to find that balance when we get up here. To not just, we don't want to give you the Pollyanna syndrome, but we want to be those realistic, optimistic, hopeful people connected to our God.